Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Both Paul and the Christians in Asia Minor were accustomed to the sight of Roman soldiers in full battle gear. The Roman military was a marvelous and fearsome killing machine that conquered the world and then enforced unity among the vanquished in what came to be called the Pax Romana. Seems a little bit out of place that the Apostle Paul would conclude his letter to the Ephesian churches with such a militaristic analogy. The purpose of his letter was to tell them and to tell us about the Pax Christi, a peace totally different from the Pax Romana. Paul tells us that in Christ, all nations, Jews and Gentiles, are brought together in and through the peace of Christ, who has destroyed the wall of hostility between them by establishing peace between God and man through the shedding of his blood. Christ came and preached peace to all, and through his blood all have access in one spirit to the Father. And now in the conclusion of this marvelous little epistle of peace, Paul leaves us with a vivid, detailed picture of a Roman soldier preparing for battle by carefully putting on each piece of armament, full battle dress from shoes to belt, breastplate to helmet, shield and sword. So how does this jive with Paul's instructions? I, therefore, a prisoner, for the Lord, urge you to walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love. Hardly a Patton-esque call for battle. While all analogies have their limits, Paul's armor analogy is tinged with irony. The kingdom of God and the kingship of Christ are not like the kings and kingdoms of this world. And yet the picture of a soldier carefully putting on his armor for battle aptly describes the life of a Christian whose struggle is against the devil and the powers of darkness, which is a very real struggle. To survive, to stand, to be victorious, we must put on our armor. Rather, God's armor. Only a fool would leave this behind and run naked into a battle. Like anyone dressing for work, so also with soldiers, getting dressed is a daily routine. For soldiers, it's a life and death routine, but routine nonetheless. He sharpens his sword. Repeatedly, he cleans his weapons over and over. And so with the Christian who puts on daily the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, and he picks up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God daily and routinely goes into our ears. You almost don't even think about it sometimes, but it's always there going into our ears and hearts. Morning and evening, we arm ourselves with the sign of the cross over the heart, which is protected by the breastplate of baptismal righteousness. Dressed and armed with God's external, his externals armament, we enter the battle. But we don't rush into the battle by ourselves like Brad Pitt in a Hollywood version of Troy running up the beach. Paul paints a picture of the Christian in full armor with plural verbs and pronouns. The picture he paints for us in Romans 6 is a picture of the church as a multitude of soldiers in massive battle formation fighting together as one. We do not stand alone. Gathered together, we hear God's word. We pray. We sing. We confess. We eat. Together, we stand side by side in full armor, the armor of God. Together, we take our stand against the temptations of the devil and the world. And in God's strength, we are able to stand against the devil's schemes. Paul's description of the church militant is also fitting because battles are chaotic. Armies must know the enemy, study the enemy, all their tactics. They must prepare their weapons to give their soldiers the best weapons possible with which to fight. They drill over and over, do all of this, but every time they go out to battle, the enemy always also seems to have some new and unexpected surprises. And the minute war starts, even if you outnumber the enemy, war is chaos. As are spiritual battles in which Christians daily engage. You can never quite get your hand on the surprises, no matter how pious you might think you are. Much of seminary life is spent in the classroom struggling to understand theological distinctions and categories. Doctrines neatly laid out in catechisms, creed, confessional writings, and dogmatics textbooks, and it's vitally important to study this. But you know, as well as anyone else, the minute you walk out of the classroom door or out of the chapel or off campus to begin the ministry, the spiritual struggle continues, and that is never as neat and orderly as a textbook. Rather, like war, it's messy, unexpected, and chaotic. It is a war which is waged in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. It's waged in your families, it's waged in congregation, in church, and in the world. Well, despite the chaos, the struggle, the wrestling, an amazing thing happens. When the smoke clears and the battle ceases, you kind of look and you're still standing. You're kind of sometimes amazed after all of this. You may be kind of bruised and beaten, but you're still standing. Temptation, sin, the devil, death itself are no match for God's armor. And the Word of God announces that we have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's no bigger armor than the forgiveness of sins. And lead us not into temptation, we pray. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, or other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. Now we pray that God would guard and keep us, and he does. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.